Sex. Hey Scarlets, it's Mary Adele, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize those conversations about sex and sexuality and make them more joyful and liberating and inclusive so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. So, as you know, if you've been tuning in, we've spent the last two episodes discussing shame and how it can impact our sexuality in very big ways. And so, kind of heavier topics. I think what came out of those, though, is how to kind of look at that shame, unlearn that shame, work from that shame. But this episode, I was thinking we would focus on sexual empowerment. So something a little more positive and uplifting. And there's a lot to sexual empowerment. So this might turn into another series. I don't know yet. Let's see how this episode goes. But yeah, there's a lot to cover. So let's go ahead and define empowerment. It is, according to Google, it's the process of becoming stronger and more confident, especially in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. And I really kind of liked that, claiming one's rights. I think that that's something we don't think about a lot, you know, the rights that we have just as being human beings, the right to be happy, the right to, you know, have a healthy life, the right to have love and compassion. And I really think sexuality is a right that we all have that feels like it's taken from us in a lot of situations, whether that's religion, whether that's our upbringing, whether that's trauma, abuse. We can feel like we don't have the right to our sexuality all too often, and that's a bummer. I want us to all feel like we can claim our sexuality and feel like it's ours and that we own it and that it's our bodies and it's that, it's our passions and our pleasures. So if you take nothing else away from this episode today, just remember that you do have a right to your own sexuality. It's yours. It's no one else's. So let's dig into that a little bit more. Some things to remember as a kind of a framework. This is a journey, to use that kind of trendy word. We are going to have ups and downs, just like life. And so when it comes to our sexuality, there's no climbing a ladder and getting to the top and having the perfect sex life. That's just not possible. You're going to go through times of stress. You're going to go through times of grief. You're going to go through times of like really ecstatic joy. And even during that, sexuality might be kind of fraught because, you know, it's just high emotions can make sexuality one way or the other, whether that's having lots of sex, whether that's having no sex, whether that's you never want to have sex ever, all of that's okay. But just know that this is something that's, you're going to have ups and downs, peaks and valleys for the rest of your life with your sexuality. And that's okay. And that's kind of what makes it, you know, not to pathologize, but makes it beautiful in a way, is that we have to go through these ups and downs to really learn about ourselves. And eventually, you'll probably get to a point, which I'm still working toward, where no matter what's happening, you still feel grounded in yourself. You feel grounded in who you are. You feel grounded in your sexual desires or your sexual non-desires. And whatever you're experiencing at the time, like say the death of a loved one, you can get through it knowing that, you know, there's always going to be an up. There's going to be some light to seek and to find, and it'll come. So I think that's really what we want to work towards. It's just that groundedness. If that's not resonating with you, I mean kind of like that peace that you can feel. I think a lot of times people feel that after meditating, or they feel it when they do yoga, or they feel it when they're on a vacation that's just like wonderful. That feeling of deep peace within where everything feels like, okay, I know myself. I know who I am. I know, you know, I can handle what comes to me. And if I can't handle it, I know that I have people around me who will help me handle it. Just kind of like that confidence in who you are. So yeah, so this is a journey. We're all on it together. No one's alone in this. If you're experiencing stress around sexuality, know that you're not alone. And with that, it's imperfect. So perfection is, I think, a really terrible notion that we as a society have kind of imagined or pushed. No one's perfect. Nothing's perfect. It's scary to think that anything could ever be perfect because that's just weird. Like, I don't even know what perfect means. What does that even mean? What is perfect? Nothing's perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn from those mistakes. We're going to say things we don't mean. We're going to, go through times where maybe we're doing things to ourselves, whether that's, you know, not eating nutritionally for a long period of time, or not sleeping a lot, or, you know, maybe having sex that doesn't feel that great the next day. That might happen. It very well might happen to you. And that's what imperfection is, you know, letting that happen, not being too hard on yourself, and just learning from it and growing from it. So just know that imperfection, embrace it. Every day I want you to look in the mirror. I'm going to say this a couple times, I think, during this episode. But just look in the mirror and say, I'm imperfect, and that's okay, because it is okay. I think this kind of, another note I have down here is that there's no finish line, and I think that goes along with journey. Like, there's no, you know, finish line in terms of your life with sexuality, but also if you're having sex with someone or if you're masturbating, there's no, you don't have to get to a certain point where it's like, oh, I've reached that climax, or I've reached that perfect sexual lifestyle. No, like, that's not going to happen. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to happen. So don't wait for that. There's no finish line. And that's pretty much probably everything in life. Like, we're always going to be growing and learning and making mistakes. And last, and maybe most importantly, these sexual journeys look different for every single person. So I know we've talked about this in past episodes, but the best you can do is not judge yourself, and thus not judge others for how they're experiencing their sexualities. Now, if you have a close friend who really seems like things aren't going well for them and you're worried about them, of course, reach out to them and talk to them, you know. Again, not projecting judgment onto them, but like always check in on your friends, check in on your family, check in on those people that you love. But know that what looks good and what feels good for you might be totally different for another person. So do your best not to be like, okay, this is the way we have sex, and this is how everyone should be having sex, or this is how everyone should be experiencing their sexuality, their orientation, their sensuality. No, looks different for everyone. And that's another beautiful life thing, is that we're all very different. So those are just my four notes I would say to remember long term when it comes to exploring your sexuality, thinking about sexuality. It's imperfect, it's a journey, there's no finish line, and it looks very different for each and every person. All right, Scarlets. Okay, so I want to go through a few things. This doesn't have to be chronological, but in terms of finding that sexual empowerment, these are just a few things I'd keep in mind. You need to recognize, and we've talked about this, any shame and where that is, and insecurities that show up for you. So that goes back to listening to that inner critic that shows up every once in a while, that shame wizard, that mean girl in your head, who sometimes will come out maybe when you're looking in the mirror and is like, oh, you should lose weight. Like, that's that inner critic. So being able to recognize those shoulds, those mean things that you say about yourself, well, it's not you, it's that inner critic. Being able to be like, hey, that's my inner critic talking. That's not me. I don't have to listen to that. And it can show up in a lot of different ways. So I'm just going to go through a few ways just in case this will help you kind of be like, oh, I didn't even think that I was saying that to myself or looking at it that way. So body image is a big one. And I'm going to do a whole episode about body, probably multiple, about body image and sexuality, because there's a lot of pressure to diet. There's a lot of pressure to look a certain way for men, women, non-binary, trans. Every single human and gender feels this weight of how you need to look. And that's, you know, because of media. It's because of Hollywood. It's because of the magazines we read. It's because of models. And ultimately, you know, we can go into a whole thing, but there's a lot of powers that we don't have a lot of control of right now. We're working toward dismantling. But people who, you know, within capitalism, they want you to spend money. So they want you to spend money on makeup. They want you to spend money on these diets, all this weight stuff, you know, how to lose all these pounds. And that's really what it's about. It's just about, it's an industry. You know, the dieting world is an industry. And so all this to say, kind of picking up where you're hearing these voices of like, you have to look a certain way. And it shows up too in health. Like, you know, you have to weigh a certain amount in order to be healthy. That's not true. There's a whole school out there, and there's a whole group of activists out there fighting against that. There's a lot of people with big bodies who are healthy, whose cholesterol checks out, whose, you know, blood pressure is fine, who has a healthy lifestyle, they're, you know, exercising, whatever. So first of all, there is health at every size. That's a whole book. I recommend reading it. It's by Linda Bacon, Health at Every Size. The other end of this, though, is it's, again, none of our business really what people are doing with their own bodies. You just worry about your own body. So I can say, like, you know, big bodies are healthy, but doesn't matter anyway. That's none of your business. Who's doing what with their body? You just need to worry about your body. And I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of information out there about losing weight, about looking a certain way, and that's going to affect your sexuality and how you think about your sexual self. And it can happen in, you know, maybe when you're with a partner or partners and you're about to have sex and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, look at, like, there's something jiggling, or there's something, I just feel gross right now and I'm having sex and I'm not enjoying it. Yeah, that's going to affect your sex life. You're never going to have good sex if you're constantly, like, picking at yourself while you're having sex. And I know I'm making it sound like super easy to just be like, stop doing that. It's just, what I want you to do is recognize if that's happening for you. So if you have body image issues, which I do, so many of us do, and it's totally normal and okay, but just to be able to be like, oh, that's showing up for me. And get curious about it, you know, figure out maybe there was something that happened when you were little. Maybe you were eating a lot of cookies and someone was like, oh, you're eating way too many cookies right now. That can, like, stay in our brains for forever and make us feel bad about ourselves. So just get curious about that. What is it about your body that you know, in quotes, don't like, and why? And, you know, just see where this shows up, because I'm telling you, because it's our bodies, of course that's going to show up with our sexuality and how we're experiencing sex. Like, our bodies are a big part of our sexuality. So that's one way that insecurities show up, definitely as a big way, is body image. Guilt, which we've talked a lot about. So that was a big thing for me. I felt really guilty. I felt like I was disappointing the church, parents, all that stuff when I started to explore my sexuality, and that just kind of stuck with me. So guilt's a big one. And that one's pretty easy to recognize, because you'll be like, the shoulds will show up. It'll be like, oh, I shouldn't do that, or I should do that, or, oh, I feel bad, blah, 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 blah. That's guilt. Recognize it. Get curious about it. Comparison, which, you know, that brings in all kinds of different things. When you start comparing yourself to other people, and yeah, we're on these social media outlets, so Instagram, Facebook, and we're seeing people living their lives, and we're like, oh, I'm not doing that. Does that mean I'm not good enough? I'm not cool enough? I'm not doing enough? Comparison is the worst, and I do it every day, and it sucks. And it's just another thing to kind of pay attention to, because when you're comparing yourself, you're not within your body. You're not thinking about you. You're not making yourself, your life better. You're not, you know, exploring your own sexuality. You're just thinking about someone else's. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Again, it's normal. It happens. But let's work on looking at it, seeing when it's showing up for you, so you can start being like, all right, how do I fix this? How do I get rid of this? Or how do I start getting rid of it? Sexual orientation, that's a big one. It's confusing. And there's, you know, so much pressure to maybe not come out as gay, as bi, as pansexual, as queer, as trans. So, you know, it goes into gender as well. It's not just sexual orientation. There's gender orientation. And that's a tough one. And all I can say is that if you're struggling with your sexual orientation and to come out, you're not alone. I see you. I hear you. You're valid. Your experience is valid. There's a lot of resources out there, books, websites, and such to help support you through that. And so I would, if you're really struggling with it and you feel alone and kind of lost, let me come back next episode. I'm going to write it down with some resources for you, just to start reading, to start looking into it. And, you know, I hope you have a friend or a family member who's there for you, because that's important, you know, to have someone there for you through times like that who you can talk to. But again, sexual orientation, gender orientation, those are things that can hold us back from really exploring our individual sexualities, because maybe there's shame there, maybe there's fear there. And so if that's happening to you, obviously my heart's with you. And again, you're valid. Everything you're experiencing is totally valid, and it's going to get better. Slut shaming. So that's a big one. Is there's definitely this dynamic and this, what's the phrase I'm thinking of? A double standard. So I think it's getting better. I was just watching Scream, that 90s movie, and I was like, wow, that does not age well, because there's hella gender roles in that where it's like very toxic. It's the man is the one who, you know, is strong, outspoken, confident, persistent. And if he gets laid, then he is, you know, awesome. And the more women, the better. And then for the straight female, it's she's gentle, she's quiet, she's apologetic, she, you know, has sex with one partner and it's really, really great dirty sex, but if she has sex with anyone else, she's a slut. That is a huge dynamic that exists in our culture, one that I think we're doing a good job at dismantling, but that shows up still. Depending on, I don't know what kind of households people are living in still, like there might still be a traditional gender role framework. Or maybe you are consuming media that still kind of enforces those gender roles. All this to say, you know, I guess I'm speaking more toward, you know, women and femme gender identities. You are told that if you're having too much sex that you're a slut. And that sucks. Like, you know, of course you want to be having sex that feels good and right for you. But, you know, we should be able to explore our sexuality just as much as, you know, a straight man or any a man, straight or not. So that's just something that could be showing up for you, is this pressure to align with those gender roles of like strong man, passive woman. It's a whole nother podcast episode, honestly. Mental health. So I know my good friend Julie has a great podcast about mental health, Healthy Minds. So definitely check out her podcast. But mental health is a huge, it can impact our sexuality so much because, you know, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with anxiety, maybe multiple personality disorder, there's so many mental health conditions that are out there that could very much affect your sexuality. And I'm not saying let's go ahead and get in there and fix it. I'm just saying that's something to know. You know, if you're like, why am I not feeling sexy? Or like, why do I feel like I want to have sex all the time? Maybe it's something going on with your mental health. So just paying attention to that. Again, this is a big topic, but we do live in a world that, or in a country in particular, that has a lot of oppression, a lot of discrimination, poverty, wealth imbalance, and that's a lot of stress. You know, white supremacy still exists, and it's baked into a lot of systematic structures. And so if you're dealing with that, if you have that on your shoulders, that's a lot. That's a lot of stress. So obviously, I don't mean to even minimize that at all. I'm just saying that that's something that can impact people's sexualities, that can impact the way that you find pleasure and joy every day. So that's another thing to recognize. Maybe you're under, I'm sure you are, a lot of us are under those pressures of some sort. So recognizing that. And that's just a few, and that was a lot, but those are just things to kind of think about, because all of that is going to impact how you are exploring, again, I've said it many times, exploring and experimenting with your sexuality and finding those pleasures. So I'm not here to go through each one of those and help you fix them. I can give you just a few tips though. Therapy's always a good option if you can afford it and you have access to it. I would assume that on this campus, there are probably counselors in the, is it a counseling center, I would assume. So maybe check that out if you can. Self-help. I mean, it's cheesy, but a lot of those self-help books work. So find a self-help book or a podcast. There's a lot of great podcasts out there that are self-helpy. Maybe find one that resonates with you. You know, of course, there's meditation and yoga. I kind of like, I'm not rolling my eyes because those things are great, but that's kind of something that gets thrown at people a lot. So maybe meditation and yoga isn't for you. For me, roller skating is my meditation. I love getting out there and roller skate. I feel like I'm so part of my body when I'm doing it. So maybe just finding a movement that makes you feel really a part of your body. You're sweating. You're, you know, just experiencing movement and stretching your limbs in ways that makes you feel present and grounded. You know, sometimes you need better friends. I don't know. A lot of times we have to leave some friendships behind because they're taking a lot, or they're toxic, or they're not making you feel good about yourself. A friend group is a big deal, and you kind of have to curate the people that you surround yourself with. I mean, you do, so that you are being supported, you know, and of course you need to be supporting your friends. I mean, that's obviously, but you'll know when you're in a friendship that feels right versus a friendship that feels like it's taking all your energy. So just be aware of that too. And that can affect all those other things I was talking about, body image, guilt, comparison, etc. Whatever you do need, start working toward it. However you can, whatever you need, whether, and again, like sometimes it's just like this, you feel kind of lost in your sexual orientation or your gender identity. And that means resources, if you can just find, or support groups or spaces that feel welcoming to anyone. That's the kind of stuff that you can, you know, be careful and vet your information, but get on Google and do some research. All right. Another thing, you know, moving on from like recognizing where our insecurities are showing up, next, it's time to think about what you like and just hang out with yourself, because you can have a great time with just you. And that is both sexually, but also like just in general, hanging out with yourself, figuring out what you like, what your passions are. So one thing I want to bring up before I forget, there's an online website called Scarlatine, and they're great. There's so much information on there. And one thing they have on there, if you just type in Google Scarlatine sexual inventory, it brings up a long list. And it's cool because what it does is it asks you certain things that you might like and not like, certain places you'd like to be touched, certain sexual positions, certain just like preferences in terms of like, do you like your feet touched? Do you like food involved with sexuality? Like all, like a very extensive list that you get to like go through and just kind of consider. And there's going to be some that you're like, I don't know. I'd be open to try it. That's cool. Maybe you can try it with a partner sometime, or maybe you can try it by yourself. That's what's really cool about sexuality is there's so much experimenting that we can do as soon as you can kind of get rid of some of those shame points and you can just kind of start playing with yourself, or, you know, find a partner who you consent with and they consent with you and experiment with them, you know. Of course, be safe. But I think that going through that inventory, if you don't even, you don't even have to start experimenting sexually at all, you can just be curious about it and think about these things. And it's a great website. It's used, I just know in the sex ed world, it's referred to a lot. So I know it's a safe space. It's a safe place to go and look through all their articles, but definitely take a look at their sexual inventory. I think you'll like what you find. And if that doesn't sound like something you want to do, then I would just, you know, spend some time in your bed, just like touching your arms, touching your legs, kind of like maybe light a candle, maybe light some incense or, I just said a candle. Just have a scent in the room that you really like. Maybe bake cookies and then go lay in your room, because who doesn't like the smell of baked cookies? And it doesn't have to be like anything around your genitals if you don't want to. It can literally just be about touching your body in other places. And finding it where, like, maybe your inner thighs are just very sensitive. Like, that's a cool thing to know. Now you know that, like, that's a nice place you'd like to be touched, or you like to touch yourself. And you might not have known that before. It sounds really simple, but it's amazing the things you'll discover about your body. I think that we aren't as in touch with our bodies most of the time. So to, like, kind of be like, oh, this is my body, where, like, look at this roll and look at this curve and look at this softness and look at this roughness and look at where this patch of hair is. It's just cool to kind of be like noticing these things without judgment. I work with a lot of people, and something I do across the board, no matter if I'm talking about sexuality or boundaries or healthy relationships, I have all my clients talk about their love lists. So we get out a piece of paper and we just start writing down everything in life we love, every place, every smell, every person. And the list is going to change and evolve throughout life, but it's cool to take inventory of not just, you know, the Scarlatine inventory where it's more about your sexual body, but the inventory of just things you love in life. Because I don't know, it's just a good reminder, and it makes you feel sensual. It makes you feel that joy that we all, you know, have a right to. So take a minute, write a love list of all the things that make you happy. One thing I wanted to bring up is, just kind of randomly, is ASMR, which is Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a really cool, it's both weird and cool in a way. And by weird, I mean no judgment weird, but like not all of it's for me. But it's basically the idea that sounds and certain sounds can like give you this tingly, goosebumpy feeling. Some people like, I personally like it when people are eating potato chips around me. Other people are like, what? That's weird. Like, that is the worst, most annoying thing in the world. I don't know. It kind of like makes like my shoulder, the goosebumps raise up on my shoulders, and I get that tingly feeling when I hear someone really enjoying a bag of potato chips. Other people say that Beyonce's voice gives them this, it's ASMR response. So it's like, it's just a cool way to be sensual without it necessarily being sexual. Check it out. There's some videos online. There's some information out there about it. Again, it's totally safe, I promise. And it might be fun just to like think about sounds as a way to like be sensual. You know, music does that for us. Okay. So I'm a little short on time here. So you know what? That means that this needs to be a series. So I'm going to do more sexual empowerment next episode. I want to make sure I have time to go do my listener question. So this person was wondering about finding empowerment after a divorce, but we can also do breakup, since probably a lot of listeners aren't at the marriage stage yet. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, so how do you find empowerment after a breakup from this person was dating a cisgender man. So that means a man who was born a man and felt like that was his gender. And then the person says, and then they came out as queer. So the man didn't come out as queer. The person broke up with this man and now they came out. And I said queer. That might not be their identity. They did not say what their sexual orientation was. I'm using queer as a catch-all. That's not going to be okay for everyone, but that's just what I'm doing for the purpose of this podcast. So yes. So this person's come out as queer and they recently gone through a divorce. So I don't know if this person feels, I'm sure there's some pain with the divorce. I mean, I would assume that there's some pain, even if it's like a really good thing and there's relief, there's probably some pain there. So my heart's going out to you. What, in the interest of time, I want you to, the first piece of advice I would give is, as the thing I was saying earlier, take time to get to know yourself. You probably, I mean, naturally when we're in long-term relationships, we're not necessarily codependent, but you get used to having that person with you all the time. And so you kind of like meld identities in some ways. So first you need to get to know yourself again and write that love list. Spend some time in bed. Masturbate, if that feels right. Do things that really make you feel part of your own sexual body, your own self. Take yourself out on a date, you know, anything that's going to make you feel more in touch with you. That would be my first piece of advice. Also, feel the feelings of the divorce. Let yourself mourn that, grieve that, if that's something you need to do. And, you know, maybe that'll come out later on in life, a year from now, whatever. But if it's coming up for you now, make sure you're letting yourself feel that. The second thing I would do in terms of coming out, I would find some queer spaces. Maybe you already have, but that will be the best way. You know, it doesn't have to, there's no pressure to date. There's no pressure to partner up with someone. But if you can be in a queer space, you're going to meet more queer people. You're going to be able to maybe date potentially one day. And you're just going to feel, I would assume, more affirmed in your identity as a person who is queer. So, I think this person's from the place that I live, Frederick area. I know that the Lodge is a really great queer space. I know that, and I think this person's also a roller skater. I know Laurel Roller Skating Rink does a queer night every month. And then there's a ton of other queer spaces. Those are just the two that came straight to my mind. Get on Google. Vet your information, but find some safe spaces, safe queer spaces to just go out and make new friends, build a community. And, you know, and I know there's also a lot of stress with coming out. So good. I mean, again, I see you. I'm happy for you. I hope it was a good experience. And if it wasn't, I hope that you're able to take care of yourself and you do have some loved ones who are there for you right now. So all in all, it sounds like this was probably a good thing, ultimately, not to simplify it, but, you know, I'm excited for you to go into this next part of your journey. So as always, I close with a pause for pleasure. What's giving me pleasure right now? My partner and I are starting to get into Dungeons and Dragons. Never thought I would do this just because I'm not a game person. But we played a game. We really liked it. And so every night we're studying up on our Dungeons and Dragons. He's got the Book of Monsters. And so we're reading about a monster every night. And that, you know, it being Halloween and the spooky season has been really fun to learn about these Dungeons and Dragons monsters. So I'll keep you posted on my D&D life. And of course, thank you for tuning in. I will be back in a couple of weeks. You can follow me at Mary Adele, that's two L's and Adele, _ sex educator on Instagram. And then if you have a question for me, Scarlett's, feel free to email me at info@maryadele.com. And also, make sure you're following Dragon Digital Radio. They've got a lot of awesome podcasts. They're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. And don't forget to comment, rate, and share my podcast, but also all the other awesome podcasts on Dragon Digital Radio. So thank you, Scarlett's. Tune in next couple weeks, and I will see you soon. Make sure you're seeking pleasure. connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.